they don't want to fight. They sit by the fire trading stories all night. Far, far away, deep in the blue, the dolphins and the mermaids, the jellyfish too, they tell stories in bubbles that pop. The sun sets on the ocean, but they never stop. Tell us a tale. Tell us a tale. Stories don't live in a storybook. They're all around us if we look. Tales are for telling, so tell us one more. Tell us a tale. Tell us a
Peter Jones, and you are indeed listening to Tell Us a Tale, where Jen Hoffman and I are going to tell you a few creation tales about the sky, starting with a Navajo legend called How the Stars Fell into the Sky, adapted by Jerry Ofton, and that's published by Houghton Mifflin.
When the pulse of the first day carried it to the rim of night, first woman said to first man, "The people need to know the laws. To help them, we must write the laws for all to see."
"Write them in the sand."
"But the wind will blow them away."
"Write them on the water then."
And he turned to go, having more important matters on his mind. "But they will disappear the moment I write them on the water." First man turned back impatiently and looked at her squatting there on the rim of night, a blanket of stars at her feet.
"Why don't you write them in the sky? Take your jewels there and write them in the sky."
And so she began, slowly, first one and then the next, placing her jewels across the dome of night, carefully designing her pattern so all could read it. But First Woman was not alone. Behind a low tree, Coyote crouched, watching her as she crafted her careful mosaic on the blackberry cloth of night. He crept closer.
"What are you doing?"
he called to her in a voice that sounded like the whine of an arrow whistling in the wind.
"Why are you tagging up the night sky with your jewels?"
"Oh, I am writing the laws so all the people can read them. There will be no confusion if we can always see the laws." Her hands glowed from the warmth of the stars she was touching, and she smiled as she toiled.
"May I help?"
"Yes, begin here." And she handed him a star. Coyote hung the star and stepped back to look. He hung another and another, but for each star he hung, First Woman's blanket held 100,000 more.
"This is slow work."
"Writing the laws could take many moons."
Why can't we just find a faster way and be done?
Why finish? What is there to do next that is half so important as writing the laws? The people will see these laws before they enter their hogans at night. The young mother will sing them to her child. And the lonely warrior crouching in an unknown country will look up and warm himself by them. Writing the laws may be what I do each night for the rest of my life. But Coyote lacked First Woman's patience. He loved best to see a job finished. Impatiently, he gathered two corners of First Woman's blanket, and before she could stop him, he flung the remaining stars out into the night, spilling them in wild disarray, shattering First Woman's careful patterns. First Woman leaned far into the night and watched the tumbling stars.
Oh, what have you done, you foolish, foolish, foolish animal?
Coyote crept away while First Woman wept because there was no undoing what Coyote had done. As the pulse of the second day brought it into being, the people rose and went about their lives, never knowing in what foolish haste Coyote had tumbled the stars. Never knowing the reason for the confusion that would always dwell among them.
And the background of that tale was music off R. Carlos Nakai's album, Desert Dance. Well, we're going to keep going with another Sky creation tale now, called The Spider Who Created the World by Amy MacDonald. And that's published by Orchard Books.
When the sky was young and the world just a dream, when the stars were still learning their names, a spider named Nob came floating through the air at the end of a long, soft thread. On her back was a white, white egg.
I need some place to set my egg. The time is near for it to hatch.
You may set your egg on me,
sighed the air.
You are kind, but I need somewhere firm, somewhere out of the wet and the cold.
So she called to the moon.
Oh, moon, floating free, I need somewhere to live. May I stop for a while on your brow?
Go away from here, Nob, with your tiny sharp fangs. There's no room for you in my home.
Nob was as patient as 100 spiders, so she called to the sun.
Oh, sun, floating free, I need somewhere to live. May I stop for a while by your hearth?
Oh, go away from here, Nob, with your sticky white thread. There's no room for you here in my home.
Now Nob felt as sad as 100 spiders, but she called to the cloud.
Oh, cloud, floating free, I need somewhere to live. May I stop for a while on your lap?
Go away from here, Nob, with your 8 itchy legs. There's no room for you in my home.
Alas, I have no friend but the air.
Yet she was also as wise as 100 spiders, and she meant to have a home for her egg. So she took her sticky white thread and wove a net and hung it across the sky. And she waited. First, the moon came along on its path through the sky and got caught tight in Nob's web.
Set me free.
All in good time.
and with her tiny sharp fangs, she sliced off a piece from the side of the moon and wrapped it up neatly with her thread. Next, the sun came along and was quickly caught in Nob's web.
Set me free.
All in good time.
But first, she sliced off a piece of the sun and wrapped it up neatly with her sticky white thread. Last to come was the cloud, and soon it, too, was caught in the web.
Set me free!
All in good time!
But first, she sliced off a piece of the cloud and wrapped it up neatly with her 8 itchy legs. Now Nob was as clever as 100 spiders. With her fangs and her thread, she took the piece of moon and wrapped it round and round the piece of sun. In this way, she made the earth with the fire inside it. Next, she took the bit of cloud and squeezed it between her 8 itchy legs until all the juice ran out. In this way, she made the water and oceans that cover the earth.
Have a home for my egg.
Then she laid her white, white egg between 2 great mountains. And from this egg hatched out not just spiderlings, but birds of the air, and fishes of the water, and beasts of the land, and all the beings, small and big, that fill the world to this day. And to this day, the moon and sun and cloud still float above the earth, though every now and then, if you look very closely, you just might see where Nob took a bite. As for Nob, though, she made the earth, the fire, and the water. She never forgot who was her only friend. And that is why she lives still and always up in the air, suspended halfway between the land and the sea and the stars.
A teensy-weensy spider crawled up the water spout. Down came the rain and washed the spider out. Out came the sunshine and drove away the rain, and the teensy weensy spider climbed up the spout again.
Oh, if Pete Seeger's album Birds, Beast, Bugs, and Fishes, Little and Big, that was Teensy Weensy Spider. And in the background of that story was Mozart's Adagio from Sonata in F Major K332 off Rick Luchard's album Good Night, Wolfgang. You are listening to Tell Us a Tale. Well, for our next creation tale about the sky, we're going to tell you one from Estonia called Elinda Who Danced in the Sky, adapted by Lynn Maroney, and that's published by Children's Press.
Long ago, in a land far to the north, Elinda was born from a tiny bird's egg. Her hair was as dark as a winter night, and her eyes were as bright as a summer day. She was kind-hearted and loved by all. Elinda's work was to direct the birds in their migrations. Warning the birds of the coming of the snows, she showed them the special sky path to the warm lands. In spring, when it was time for their return, she gently guided each bird along the great path. Elinda cared for the birds as tenderly as a mother. Word of her beauty and kindness spread, and it surprised no one that when she reached the age to be wed, many suitors came to ask for her hand. But Elinda turned them all away. One night, the North Star came to call. He came riding in a crystal sleigh drawn by a single crystal horse. He bowed and said,
"Elinda, please marry me. I would be a dependable husband, and you would always know where to find me."
But Elinda thought,
"North Star would always be distant and unmoving, and I would have to stay in the same place all the time. North Star, I cannot marry you."
Later, Moon came. He glided down from the sky in a chariot drawn by four silver horses. He bowed and said,
"Elinda, please marry me. I would be a romantic husband. With me, you could travel to a new place each night."
But Elinda thought,
"Moon travels, but he always takes the same narrow path. Moon, I cannot marry you."
"Very well."
Still later, Sun came down from the sky in a carriage of pure gold drawn by 12 gold horses.
"Elinda, you must marry me. With me you will light the day. We will warm the winds and cause the seasons to come and go."
But Elinda thought,
"Sun's light is too harsh. I would have to hide from his glare, always living in his shadow. My own light would never be seen. Sun, I cannot marry you."
Then, towards midnight, the whole sky filled with shimmering lights, a gleaming black carriage descended from the sky, drawn by 100 rainbow-colored horses. Inside rode Prince Borealis, Lord of the Northern Lights.
"Elinda, please marry me. With me you will not remain fixed in one place, but come and go. You will not take a narrow path, but travel the whole sky. My light is not harsh, but gentle and soothing."
"Yes, I will marry you."
Then, while the world was sleeping, Elinda and Prince Borealis danced across the night sky. Finally, Prince Borealis said,
"Soon day will come, and I must return to my own land. Prepare for our wedding, and I shall return at nightfall."
With these words, he faded into the dawn. Elinda began to weave her wedding veil. With the help of the birds, she gathered the sparkle from the dewdrops. The dragonflies gave her the iridescence from their wings. Under the watchful eyes of the spiders, she spun magic thread. Then, sitting at a golden loom, she began to weave a veil so delicate that it could scarcely be seen. As night fell, Prince Borealis made preparations to return to his beloved Elinda. But the spirits of his own land refused to let him go, saying that he was needed by his own people. When Prince Borealis did not return, Elinda continued her weaving. The veil soon filled the weaving room and spilled out into the countryside. Days turned into weeks, weeks into months, and the veil grew longer and longer. When at last the veil reached the end of the earth, Elinda rested her hands. Believing the prince would never return, she wept until her tears filled the rivers and streams of earth. When Elinda lifted her head, at last she saw that the birds had been watching over her in her grief. At her bidding, they came together and gently carried her higher and higher up into the sky. Then they crowned her with stars. Elinda now reigns as queen of the sky. Once again, she tends to the birds and directs them along the sky path. North Star is her constant friend. Moon leaves his path once a month to visit her, and Sun sends his warm greetings each day. From time to time, in the deepest of winter, Elinda is once again seen dancing with the prince, although they never marry. As for Elinda's wedding veil, it may be seen on any clear night, drifting from one end of the sky to the other. It is called the Milky Way.
Sun, Aurora dances down. When the stars are up and the moon is dark, Aurora dances down. When the night leaps out like a fiery spark, Aurora dances down. Oh, she'll spin and turn and chill and burn till your knees fall to the ground. She wears the starry crown when the moon and sun are joined as one. Aurora dances down. Will still and the heart will leap. Aurora dances down. As the midnight watch we keep, Aurora dances down. Every human, bird, and beast, Aurora dances down. All partake of the swirling feast, Aurora dances down. She'll spin and turn and chill and burn till your knees fall to the ground. She wears the starry crown when the moon and sun are joined as one. Down. Through the northern sky she bounds, Aurora dances down. Through every forest, field, and town, Aurora dances down. She hangs her ribbons burning bright, Aurora dances down. She weaves the rainbow of the night, Aurora dances down. She'll spin and turn and chill and burn till your knees fall to the ground. She wears the starry crown when the moon and sun are joined as one. Aurora dances down. Child and man, Aurora dances down. Will in wordless wonder stand, Aurora dances down. As across the night's unfurled, Aurora dances down. One more mystery of this world, Aurora dances down. She'll spin and turn and chill and burn till your knees fall to the ground. She wears the starry crown when the moon and sun are joined as one. Aurora dances down. She'll spin and turn and chill and burn till your knees fall to the ground. She wears the starry crown when the moon and sun are joined as one. Aurora dances down.
John McCutcheon's album Winter Songs. That was Aurora. And in the background of the story was music off J. Rodrigo's album Concierto de Aranjuez. Well, in the waning seconds of this half hour, we're going to sneak in just a bit of Sweet Honey in the Rocks' Look, Look, the Sun Woke Up off their album I Got Shoes. So we'll see you again soon, right here on Tell Us a Tale.
Broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain, British Columbia.
What is the forest industry most afraid of? Shifting the conversation from saving old growth to protecting what's left of BC's primary forests, areas with minimal human disturbance and far greater ecological value than tree farms. Save What's Left Conservation Society is a volunteer-run group at the forefront of the movement to save the last remnants of unprotected primary forest through seeking reforms to the government agency, BC Timber Sales. Learn more at savewhatsleft.ca, find us on social media, and please support our vital work through our website.